like that were to happen here, we'd like some legal authority to act, and this bill would provide that.
Mr. McGuire, there are a number. I have a great deal of respect for our Secretary of State, but I happen to be of the same party. Could you give comfort to me that I would feel that the discretion of the Secretary of State, that there are some parameters around it, in the event that there's someone there that I don't trust?
Senator, hopefully that day will never come. But the statutes. Limits the or sets out as purposes as reasons to act civil disorder, state of emergency declared by the governor, a natural disaster, a natural phenomenon that's exceptional, or a catastrophic event. I mean, in my mind, that's not a snowstorm. That's something more severe. We wanted fairly broad language here because, it's sort of, it is impossible to anticipate what might happen in the future, but it would certainly be our intent that these sort of things would rarely occur.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Senator Shields.
Thank you. Patty, I immediately see where Senator Brown is going with the question, and it occurs to me that at the World Trade Center, when it was, taken down, that was a disaster. A disaster defines itself. But a few years earlier, somebody drove a truck into the basement of the World Trade Center and set off a bomb, killed a bunch of people, but the building didn't fall down. I mean, how do you define the parameters? I realize you already answered the senator's question, but just how does somebody come up with being able to define the parameters other than it's self-evident? I mean, nobody needed to have a law or a bill when the World Trade Center came down. They didn't need it to cancel an election. Everybody is very aware. But the question is, how many people had already voted that day before 9 o'clock in the morning? What happened to those votes? I mean, they canceled the election. If I'd been the leading candidate, and for whatever it was that day, I might have been a little upset that they just decided not to, in early returns, I had 75% of the vote. And, is there no way to do more parameters than this?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, this is something we have wrestled with, quite frankly, and there was some talk in the early drafting of this about limiting it to emergencies declared by either the president or the governor. Sub B is emergencies declared by the governor. There might be a timing issue if something. I don't know when an emergency was declared following 9/11, whether it was on the 12th. I don't know. It may have been on the 11th. I don't know. I mean, we are trying to provide flexibility. I think it would certainly be politically a risky proposition for a Secretary of State to do this for something that was not a self-evident disaster. I mean, certainly with what happened with the Brentwood Post Office in the District of Columbia and our dependence upon the U.S. Mail Service, it is certainly possible to imagine a scenario where there is anthrax in the Portland Post Office on the Friday before a presidential election, and there would be literally tens of thousands of ballots that could be locked up inside a building that can't leave for weeks. And right now we have no ability to do anything about that. So what we are trying to do is anticipate problems, provide flexibility for the Secretary of State to act in those self-evident situations without designing parameters that are so narrow that it becomes impossible to act.
Thank you.
Senator Shields, any further questions?
Oh, I have them. I mean, like, how do you...
Regarding the bill, Senator Shields.
No, regarding the bill. Regarding the bill. How do you define this word self-evident? I mean, some people would say this is self-evident, and others would have a different definition. I mean, I'm just a little concerned about wanting to get to the same end that you're wanting to get to, but making sure we get there in a way that would stand muster, I guess.
Thank you. No, I certainly hear your concerns. So, Senator Farrelly.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I'm gratified by the quality of the questions that I'm hearing here because I share them. Suspension of civil franchises is a serious and far-reaching potentiality. And I do have a couple questions for Mr. McGuire. What other circumstance do we allow the Secretary of State to issue proclamations? Does he have that authority in other areas?
I believe, Senator, under the declaration of state of emergency under 401, if the governor is unable to declare an emergency, the Secretary of State has the authority to do so. But that's the only circumstance that I'm aware of. It would be in the absence of the governor for whatever reason.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Why are we not following the same chain of command, Madam Chairman?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, we certainly would not object to a bill that limits this to a declaration, an emergency declaration made by either the president or the governor. This was drafted more expansively. If that's problematic, we would rather have an emergency only, an emergency declared by another bill rather than no bill at all.
Madam Chair, I think that's certainly comes to the heart of the matter. For me, the other thing that I find problematic is the language in the bill that says any catastrophic condition. That's Section D, any other catastrophic event. That, to me, you tried to cover civil disability or civil disorder and states of emergency as declared under our Oregon Revised Statutes. And great natural disasters and natural phenomenon, an exceptional, inexcusable, or inevitable, irresistible character. I can see that you're grappling with the idea of something extraordinary. But any catastrophic event then sort of goes in the other direction. Madam Chairman, I'd be more comfortable if I could hear from the other elections officials in the state of Oregon. There are 36 county elections officers, and I'm sure they would add some richness and texture to the question here. But for my purposes, I would just suggest that in Oregon, we have clear lines of authority and clear chain of command. The governor has declaratory and proclamation authority. I think that makes sense. In his absence, the secretary may act.
I guess, Senator Farrell, that sort of leads me to the question is when and how does the governor know when to declare an emergency? And a really good example is the September 11th scenario and whether the governor of New York declared an emergency immediately or whether that took a period of time or whether there was some process in place.
Right.
And so I think we need to find that out.
We do have the Conflagration Act, which provides a clear map for the chain of command for declaring emergencies. The governor is the only one authorized to declare a fire conflagration. In his absence, the Secretary of State may declare. And in his absence, then there's a clear declining order, or hers, a clear declining order of chain of command. And I think that would be helpful in this instance.
Okay. Further questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Shields.
This is not a question but a statement. I certainly don't want to see this bill go away. I think it addresses something that needs to be addressed. We might, however, learn a little bit more from the situation in New York. If the governor hadn't, for instance, declared an emergency till the day after or 2 days after, you actually had a completed election. Maybe nobody showed up because everybody was watching the towers. Maybe there was a 10% turnout instead of a 30% turnout or something. But there ought to be some things we would learn by looking at that a little bit more. I don't know how fast it can be done. It needs to be done quickly. We don't want this bill to get lost. I don't want the bill to go away, but I would like to see a little bit more flesh on these bones to go along with what Senator Ferraioli talked about in terms of getting some local perspective by local elections officials.
Mr. McGuire, did you, when you had this bill drafted, and I think it's also a redraft from last session, did you look at other states' jurisdictions, other Secretary of State's, and what their authority was under similar circumstances?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that this is not a common situation. I mean, part of the situation, part of the difference here is that we vote over an 18-day period and are completely or virtually completely dependent upon the U.S. Postal Service to make our process work. So our situation is somewhat unique. I am not aware of another state that has a law like this, but we can sure take a look at that and find out for the committee if that's helpful.
And for all intents and purposes, the state of Washington, my recollection is 50% of their ballots are done by mail, and I'm not sure this last gubernatorial election is a good example of of looking to another jurisdiction, but they might have something that might be of assistance to us. I was just pointing out that the committee administrator, at least a half a dozen states have this type of legislation. So,
Madam Chairman.
Senator Ferraioli.
That would be another way of saying just slightly over 10% of the states. I mean, it's. But, and I guess this last question for Mr. McGuire, under what circumstances would a local election fall under this category? In other words, would there be a bifurcated approach where the election proceeds as scheduled in part of the state of Oregon, but an area that was stricken by a natural disaster would be carved out by proclamation?
Madam Chair, Senator Ferraioli, the bill is not specific in how that would be handled, and I can certainly imagine a situation where, for whatever reason, a county courthouse was inaccessible, whether there'd been a fire in the basement or a more significant natural disaster on the night before an election, which would which might not extend to the point of being a truly catastrophic event in a global sense, but might be pretty catastrophic in an elections sense. And our mission here is to try and see that voters are enfranchised and have the right to participate in the process and not have impediments to that process, and to provide some flexibility if we need to have it, or a similar situation in a local post office. So what we are trying to do is provide the Secretary with flexibility to look at a situation and act reasonably in that situation to make sure that voters have a chance to participate.
And finally, Madam Chairman, under what circumstances would a person in a blue county regard an election in a red county as a catastrophe?
Generally, it was specific.
Well, I think you see, it depends on where you stand. It could be the other way around. Mr. McGuire, I just am concerned about the local effects. If there's a question of for instance, we have certain counties in Oregon that are in a different time zone. They're affected by different weather patterns. There could be seismic events at the coast. So in the general election, I could see where certain counties might be directly affected by this, and to have a place where you draw a boundary around certain counties and basically retime their election would be very troublesome for some. I'd like to see how that procedure works.
Well, thank you for bringing this. Senator Wingo.
Thank you. Just a comment. To me, there's a good intention swirling around this, but it's just too subjective, and I don't see any way to address at some point, the subjective judgment that has to be made as far as what constitutes a catastrophe or constitutes a natural disaster. And when you have a certain election date, at least you know, if it's cold out, that might help the one party. If it rains, that'll help the other. But, hey, we're all taking our chances with what happens that day. I don't see any way you can make this work such that it doesn't become subject to political charges. And that would be my concern. And so even though your intention may be good, I think the result would probably not be good. So just a comment.
Thank you, Senator Rangel. I think we'll continue to work this measure. Do you have anybody else you wish to testify on the bill? Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. We appreciate you coming forward today. Next up on the list, I have Ms. Kathy Eaton, and she is here on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Oregon. At least I think you are, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Brown, members of the committee. I'm not going to read my testimony, just a couple of comments. The League's concern about this whole thing is the ability for people to have their right to vote. And if I can comment on a couple of questions that were asked, I think in the case, Senator Ferrioli, if there was a catastrophic, like a tsunami on the coast, our reading of this would be that the whole election would be postponed. You would not disenfranchise a group because the catastrophe was in one place, that in order to protect the right of those citizens to participate, you would postpone the entire election if it were in a situation like that, so that you're putting a fence around the whole state to protect the ability of people to vote, not just in one particular place when it's a statewide election. But I agree, I think the League would agree that there are two things. Some clarification is needed in case of an emergency, and that's why we support this bill, because we feel that there are circumstances in which something might occur in that 18 day window that we have where we would need to address the issue of whether everybody had the right to vote. So we want to support a bill that will do that. Secondly, there is a time frame in here of 14 days. I think you might want to take a look at whether that is too short a period, and that's another one of these, is it too much or too little or what would happen. But I think it's something that should be discussed as to whether in a situation with the post office that Patty described, 14 days might be not be enough to have the ballots that were in a particular post office out, something like that. I'd be happy to answer questions, but our concern is that we feel there needs to be some kind of legislation that provides for elections to take place if there's a disaster.
Thank you. Senator Ferrioli, you wish to?
Oh, I was just thinking, I was going through my list of paranoid fantasies. But I can see a chemical spill on I-84 that ties up mail trucks, forest fires that could engulf a significant portion of central Oregon or eastern Oregon. The other one that we're not talking about, is a mail strike a catastrophe?
In Oregon, it could be.
A two-week mail strike at the wrong time could leave a lot of stuff in mail sacks or unsorted and piled up. And those things are not unheard of. So I would just suggest that we have a little more work on definitions to worry about.
But we, in the long run, we would hope that you would put together a measure that could meet your qualifications as well as ours, and move this idea of having the ability to postpone an election if it needed to be without disenfranchising people.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Eaton. Unless there's further questions.
Thank you, Chair.
Senator Ringo.
Just a comment. I think what we're talking about election process that's really crucial is that it's completely objective. Every step through is objective, very little discretion. And when you start adding room for discretion as to how it's going to be conducted, I think that is a recipe for disaster. I don't know how you're going to get there, at least for me on this.
Senator Ferriello.
I'm assuming somebody in the Secretary of State's office looked at the constitutional question of suspension of franchise, even temporarily.
Maybe.
But that's a question for somebody else to worry about.
Well, we are certainly intrigued by this concept. It obviously needs a little work, Ms. Eaton. We appreciate you joining us today. And with that, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 161 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 162. Wait till we get our list. Okay, Mr. McGuire, I'd ask that you come up again. And welcome again.
Thank you.
Madam Administrator, I'm sorry. I'll get this down. Give me a while.
No problem. Mr. McGuire was looking to me.
Okay.
Senate Bill 162 requires all elections held in the state to be conducted by mail.
Thank you. Mr. McGuire, some of us think this is already the law. Can you tell us why this bill is necessary?
Madam Chair, again, for the record, Patty McGuire, Deputy Secretary of State. When you look at the conduct of elections statute, there's about 21 pages of statutes in Chapter 254 on how to conduct an election. The first 14 and a half pages are how to do a polling place election. It's mighty confusing for folks. The simple fact is we don't do polling place elections anymore, and we're not likely to. We specifically cannot do a polling place election for a federal special election anymore because of the requirements of the Help America Vote Act without a massive investment in new equipment. Vote by mail is wildly popular. A survey at the University of Oregon last year found that 80% of Oregonians prefer to vote by mail. The simple fact is we've made the switch and we're not going back. And we'd like the statutes to reflect that fact.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Mr. McGuire?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ferriello.
This would affect all Oregon elections, I think, quite clearly. Madam Chairman, I think vote by mail is wildly popular in one of the 50 states. It's not wildly popular in 49 of the other states, Madam Chairman. Does this, Madam Chairman, include the Electoral College votes that are cast?
Madam Chair, Senator Ferriello, I believe the federal constitution requires electors to meet in the state capitol. I hadn't actually thought about that.
And drop their ballots in box to be mailed to the Secretary of State.
So I don't think this would have, it's not a secret ballot. We don't use, the Electoral College did not previously vote at a polling place.
But it is an election.
Of sorts, yes.
Well, all elections, Madam Chair, to be rather broad language. All elections is all elections. How about a city council voice vote in a council chamber? Is that not an election?
That is a vote, Senator. That is not an election. I don't think this impacts the action of a public body. I don't think are covered either by the vote-by-mail statutes or by the conduct of election statutes.
I'm sure Mr. McGuire would be happy to go through this bill section by section or have someone do that if you wish to cover every single voting circumstance. But I think he's talking about actual where a ballot is cast and where the public is involved.
Madam Chairman, I have not had time to study this bill, but the question that occurs to me is that all elections, we define elections in a lot of different ways, but there certainly is an election that happens at the time that the Electoral College members of the state vote. And there certainly is an election that happens when city councilors vote for instance, replacing a mayor. So I would just suggest all elections, I need to study a little more, Madam Chairman, and find out what the definition of all elections really means.
Okay.
That would be my concern.
All right. Anybody else? Question? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Ms. Miller, Ms. Eaton, and Ms. Mooningham, would you all be willing to come up together, please?
Thank you, Chair Brown, members of the committee. My name is Andy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Common Cause Oregon. I handed out testimony. It's hardly worth the paper it's written on because this is a good bill and it should pass. Senate Bill 162 looks ominous in print because of the number of statutes that are affected, but it simply amends existing statute to reflect reality. It repeals laws and language relating to polling places, language like polling places, punch cards, poll book. Common Cause has been a longtime supporter of vote by mail. In response to positive comments and questions about our system, we are encouraging our chapters in other states to look at Oregon's excellent system of voting. As a matter of fact, I had an inquiry last year from Ohio, which I found very interesting this year. We urge you to pass Senate Bill 162 and require all elections in the state to be conducted by mail.
Thank you. We like that. Brief and to the point. Ms. Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kathy Eaton. I'm the governance coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League has been a proponent of vote by mail for more than two decades. We think it has worked well in Oregon. It worked well in local elections, and then the addition of the primary and general elections simply have improved its value. Since all state and local elections have been held by mail since 2000, it's both timely and appropriate to update and correct the statutes. Vote by mail is working well in Oregon. It gives easy access to voting, and it has improved citizen participation. So the League urges you to move this forward with a due pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Madam Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Annette Newingham, and I'm the election official for Lane County. I'm here representing the Association of County Clerks, and we are in support of repealing the polling place election references in the statutes to provide further clarity. At times, there are some references that confuse how we need to do things, and this would be much clearer since we do all of our elections by mail at this point in time.
Thank you and welcome. We look forward to hearing from you throughout the legislative session. I just want to follow up on Senator Ferrioli's concerns. Do you have any concerns that deleting references to polling places will be confusing in the statutes to votes, for example, that City Council takes or the Electoral College?
The statutes that we follow pertain to those elections that we are responsible for conducting, and we do not conduct any elections dealing with for the president, as far as the electoral votes, and nor do we take care of the city council type issues. Those are references in other statutes.
Great. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Ferrioli.
Simply, Madam Chairman, I have to confess I have not read this bill as carefully as others, perhaps. What does the term all elections mean to you?
Well, all elections would refer to those that we are responsible for conducting, we being the Secretary of State's office and the 36 counties in Oregon.
Madam Chairman, I would suggest that if that were the case, then all elections would be qualified by ORS statutes that refer to the elections conducted by the electoral officials in the state of Oregon. And I have not looked at the bill to determine that's the case.
Okay. I believe that it is clear on that.
Thank you. Senator Shields.
I'll make the same confession as Senator Ferrioli in not having carefully read the bill. Is all elections, is there an understanding, explicit or implicit in the bill, that it's all elections under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, which would be all elections? Is that already in the bill?
Senator Brown and Senator Shields. Yes, that is very clear because we already are following those statutes to conduct the elections that we're responsible for. We would have to have that well-defined to know which ones we're responsible for in the first place, and so repealing those is specific to those.
Madam Chair, to
Senator
the bill, if, in fact, the statute is clear already, and this bill is clear that this is all elections under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, which wouldn't include a city council choosing a new mayor, wouldn't include the electoral college, because that's actually that's a foregone conclusion anyway. It's hard to call it an election, in my humble opinion. I mean, everybody declares who the president is weeks before the electoral college gets together. I have no problem with this bill right now, because it's so clear on the face of it. I mean, we are already doing this. We've had all our elections since 2000 done this way. I understand Senator Ferrioli's questions, but I don't think that they present a problem in that the bill pretty clearly defines that it's all elections under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, which would be both the local and state level elections. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Millingham, I also just would have you take a look at the bill we heard previously, Senate Bill 161, and we would really appreciate hearing from the county clerks about your input in terms of what you all think might be a catastrophe and where we can put some parameters around the Secretary of State or your discretion in terms of determining whether an election goes forward or not. So, thank you.
All right. Go ahead. Madam Chair and members of the committee, as far as a catastrophe is concerned, we unfortunately there's always kind of curves that we have to deal with that are the unexpected when it comes to elections. Fortunately, we've never had the kind of catastrophe that was experienced in New York. However, I have county clerk from Klamath County is here, and she did experience an election with an earthquake. We often have to call the Secretary of State's office to get the direction we need in order to know how to go forward. And, of course, it's always the expectation that we would go forward and resolve the issue and continue with the election. None of us would ever want to stop the election, and our intent is always to resolve those issues. But if there was a major issue like an earthquake that stopped all of the mailing, all of the ballots, let's say that there was a fire that destroyed the ballots, we would need to have some direction. We, one of the 36 counties or more, would need direction from the Secretary of State's office to know how to proceed, and we do turn to them for that.
Okay, thank you. Before we have any further discussions on Senate Bill 161, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 162. I'm going to move into a work session on 162. Senator Ringo.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 162 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ringo moves Senate Bill 162 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Discussion, yes. Madam Chairman. I'll just point out for the record that I was one of the few Eastern Oregon representatives or senators that strongly supported Vote by Mail and helped campaign to pass it. So I'm a strong supporter of that concept and utterly believe that it's increased franchise and voter participation and given people the leisure they need to vote with discernment on complicated issues, particularly the ballot initiatives. But this is early in the session, Madam Chairman, and the questions that I think are relatively easy to answer should be answered before we take action on this bill. I have told the committee for the record that I have not read the bill. I would like to hear from any member of this committee who has actually read the bill.
I have actually read the bill.
Okay. Madam Chairman, you are a singular and unusual legislator.
In many ways.
I believe that we would act in haste. And Mom always said, act in haste, regret at leisure. I'll be voting you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. And I'll look forward to making sure we get our agendas out in time so that everyone has a chance to read every single bill before it comes before the committee hearing. Let's see. With that, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson.
Hi, Carrie.
Senator Ringo.
Hi.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Chair Ferrioli?
No.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Senator Ringo will carry, and the motion carries.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. We are working on, our committee's on a 15-week schedule. We now have 12 weeks left, Senator Ferriero. So we're trying to move bills as quickly as possible so we can get the session done in a timely manner. I would ask the clerk from Klamath Falls, would you be willing to come forward since you're here, if you don't mind? We're going to reopen a public hearing on Senate Bill 161. Can I do that? Is that okay? It's been posted.
It's been posted, but you closed the work session, so I believe that you have to repost to rehear.
I don't believe so.
It was not a work session.
There was not a work session.
You closed the public hearing.
I closed the public hearing. I'm going to reopen the public hearing. I wouldn't want... Could you please state your name for the record?
Linda Smith, Klamath County Clerk.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Just because you're here, I thought we would take the opportunity to talk with you about that particular bill. Do you have any feedback for us?
In 1993, September of 93, on a Monday night, Klamath County did experience an earthquake that closed the courthouse. And I was not county clerk at that time. My predecessor dealt with it, but we were. It would have not been declared a disaster in the county, as far as the entire county did not collapse, but it did affect the courthouse, and it was never reopened. And it was a polling place election at that time, so it didn't have the same effect as having several weeks worth of ballots in our basement like we would now because of vote by mail. So it was something that I'm sure they could contact the Secretary of State's office, and I would feel more comfortable having something on the book that there was some direction from the Secretary of State on if something like this happened again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any questions? Appreciate you coming forward. Next time you're in the audience from Klamath Falls, let us know.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 161, unless there's anybody else wishing to testify on that particular bill or any other bills that are on our agenda today that we haven't moved. Okay. Thank you. Introduction. I'm going to open a work session for the purpose of considering requests for the introduction of committee bills. You should have a list in front of you of the bill drafts before us. I can tell you who they're at the request of, and I can let the committee administrator do a walkthrough of the bills. So, something like that.
Well, briefly, everyone has all of the LC drafts we're considering except for LC measure 1435, which is in front of you now, and there's a revised list in front of you, too. The first of the measures that we're considering for introduction is LC draft 101 at the request of Attorney Mark Kramer relating to adoptions. We then have LC drafts 217 and 218, both at the request of Self-Help for Hard of Hearing People of Oregon and Mitchell Turbin, PhD, relating to health insurance coverage for hearing aids and taxation. LC Draft 1082, relating to the Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission and declaring an emergency effective on passage. LC Draft 1320.
Hang on just a second. Sure. 1082 is a bill that I am introducing.
Oh, that's a request of Senator Brown.
Yes.
Thank you. LC Draft 1326, that's at the request of the Oregon Building Trades Council relating to the State Building Code. LC Draft 1393, at the request of Attorney Mark Kramer relating to stalking protective orders. LC Draft 1435, at the request of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders relating to public waterways. LC Draft 1926, relating to restraining orders issued pursuant to the Family Abuse Prevention Act.
That bill is also at my request.
At Senator Brown's request. LC Draft 1973, relating to urban renewal. And then finally, LC Draft 2016, relating to public employer recognition of labor organizations.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
I'd so move.
Senator Shields has moved that we introduce LC's drafts 101, 217, 218, 1082, 1326, 1393, 1435, 1926,
1973, and 2016. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Farrioli.
Madam Chair, first of all, I'd like to thank you for helping folks understand who is requesting those bills. I think that's very helpful and informative to folks. And I just would like to extend thanks to the Chair for doing that. Madam Chairman, I perhaps this is not the time to take up a question on LC 2016, but I do have a technical question about the draft.
Fire away.
It appears that this bill would allow representation by a labor organization if a majority of the employees sign a card, but it doesn't refer to the process of having an election. So I guess the question I have is, does this preclude the election of employees and authorize collective bargaining to take place without that election if at least a majority of the members sign a card? So you have a card, you have a number of cards. Does this supersede or preclude the election of the union representation?
Committee be in recess for a couple minutes while the committee administrator looks up the answer to that question, since this bill is not very likely to come before this committee. There's a number of bill requests for introduction. Any further discussion? I believe Senator Farrioli's question was answered.
Now, Madam Chairman, my question was answered, but for the record, shall we? I'd like to put the answer on the record if that would be
okay. That's totally fine.
Madam Chairman, I propose that the changes in LC 2016 change the electoral process from one that's permissive to one that's mandatory, and it applies only to public employees, and it appears to suspend the requirement for a union election. So the operation of this bill would revise substantially ORS 243-666, and also revise ORS 243-686, wherein a number of folks would sign union cards, then there would be an election to determine whether or not the bargaining unit had been approved by the employees. This would require only that people have 50% plus one card, suspend the requirement for election, and force the bargaining unit on the public employee.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli. I'm sure that the Commerce Committee or similar related committee will look forward to discussing that bill if we ever actually get it introduced.
If you were going to introduce these in block, I would be voting no.
That's fine. Senator Farrioli, we have moved to introduce the in block group of bills. Your vote is not for the purposes of support or opposition for the bill. It's simply for the purposes of introduction. Would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson. Senator Ringo.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Farrioli.
No.
Chair Brown.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Is there any other business that needs to come before the committee? Okay. I'll talk with Senator Farrioli. Thank you. We will not be meeting on Thursday, but we will probably be meeting on Thursday starting next week as our committee list is getting rather full. With that, we will close the January 25th Rules Committee. Thank you all for attending, and look forward to seeing most of you again, I'm sure, soon.